webcasting to the world.
Do you remember the moment you saw yourself in God and God in you, and you were one with the universe and God and everybody?
Knowing the truth about the gospel.
You were one with the prostitutes and pimps and priests and kings, and there was nobody on earth that was better than you nor less than you.
That we are all righteous.
And no one on earth was any less in Christ than anyone else.
That's Mike Williams, and this is the Gospel Revolution.
Welcome to the Gospel Revolution Powercast for the 12th of June 2014, coming to you from the GR Studios in Nashville, Tennessee, where we say, thank heavens, after about 2 hours of trying to get the sound levels right, we can actually make this a pro podcast. And here from Houston, Texas, is the founder and president of the Gospel Revolution. Let me look up the page here. Oh, it's Michael Williams.
Yes, it is. And we weren't going to blah, 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 blah. We're not going to let you forget that either.
I hope you got that first time, because we're not going to repeat it.
I have no illusions that you would possibly not let that go to air.
So. Oh, you know it, MW. You know it. Oh, boy. How's your week been, fella?
Oh, it's been a good week. I'm preparing for Canada. Goodness gracious.
Okay. Give us a teaser. Come on. And don't these people in Canada, they drive all across a whole freaking continent. They go long ways to hear you.
Hang on.
Give them a reason right now to put their hands in their rear pockets and make the trip.
Well, should I send them a picture of me?
Oh, how about me?
You're not going to be there. This seminar, I'm looking very much forward to it, Mystery of the Gospel. It's been one a long time in coming, actually. We've done a couple of teachings, the mystery of unbelief and the mystery of faith, I think we did there. And as I begin to realize, looking through all of this, the mystery of the gospel really is a key essential in understanding Paul's understanding of the gospel. So we're going to be doing that. But Barris, we've had a new development also, not just Calgary, Alberta this month. I just scheduled another seminar for the month of June.
Whereabouts?
Well, this is going to be back in the Marion, Illinois area.
You mean your home stamping grounds?
Yes, this is the area where I used to pastor. This is going to be interesting because we're going to be doing advertising at the Christian TV station where I used to do commercials for them, and I used to speak there. And so we're going to be advertising on the Christian TV station there that we're going to be there.
Oh, hang on. Don't. Yeah, just blurt it out like, and don't give us any background. Oh, no, these people didn't want to know you once, and come on.
Well, they wanted to know me, and then they didn't want to know me, so I'm trying to see if they want to know me again. But we will see. I actually have a lot of friends in that area, and of course, my grandson is right there also, so this is going to be a wonderful combination trip of going to see my daughter and my granddaughter and my grandson, actually. So it's going to be a wonderful trip. And I'll be speaking on Friday night and Saturday night, last Friday and Saturday of June.
What about?
I don't have a clue. So.
Oh, really? The dates are more important than the topic. Yeah, I get that.
Yeah, I get topics all the time. I never get dates. So.
Oh, you're a sick puppy.
So the dates are more important than their topics.
All righty. Now, give us an overview of the Olney thing again. So it's in Olney, Illinois.
No, it is not. Who told you that?
I just presume, like you do.
Now, this is down near Marion, Illinois, and I know it's 10 miles east. So, I'm waiting on the particulars. One of the interesting things is that the I'm going to be speaking at a church.
Okay. I'm sorry. My head just exploded. Firstly, who do you know in Marion? Or is this near Steve Essery? Or is this near, I mean, like, there's a whole bunch of who knows what happening in South Illinois.
There's been a lot going on in Southern Illinois. And Steve and Aaron Essery, the authors of The Hour We Least Expected, a wonderful book about the end times that took place 2,000 years ago. And there seems to be a pastor there who is the pastor of a Church of God of Prophecy who, from my understanding, has embraced the gospel. And when he responded and said that we could use the fellowship hall, now I'm not speaking in the church sanctuary. There is a difference for folks that are in these positions, but he said we could use the fellowship hall. To my understanding, Steve called him back and asked him, says, now you do understand that Mike Williams teaches what I teach. And that Mike Williams teaches that the entire world was redeemed through the cross. And he said, yes, I understand all of that. And he said, I can't let you use the sanctuary, but I will let you use the fellowship hall. But, you know, any place that we are given to be able to share the gospel, we'll go. Oh, goodness, we've done this in living rooms and back porches and places around the country, small rooms, large rooms. So we're very grateful to this pastor for opening this place for us to be able to come and teach the gospel in this fellowship hall. We'll be giving you more details as I understand them myself.
Oh, Mike, that's fantastic, mate. When did this happen?
Actually, I just got the call yesterday. I've always wanted to go back to Southern Illinois, having pastored there in that area. Two different churches I pastored in Southern Illinois. Both of them are still going. And there's so many people. I knew a lot of people in Southern Illinois. And this is where I preached the gospel of peace the very first time.
That's really interesting, because we are following the progress of two churches right now. There's Pastor Ted's church in where is that in Alabama? It's in
I knew until you asked.
Yeah, really. And there's Pastor Chris's church in Cullman, Alabama. And there are churches trying to preach and there are churches out there preaching grace. But then we also know people who are preaching a grace of their own description. And I mean Creflo Dollar lately has been putting out some really interesting stuff. Another person is Joseph Prince.
Yes, you know, the interesting thing about all of the teaching that's out there on grace right now, I can tell you for a fact that 30 years ago there was no teaching on grace.
How do you know that?
I looked.
Where?
For 5 years, I wanted to learn about grace and even went to the Christian bookstore, largest Christian bookstore in Southern Illinois, to find a good book on grace, and I couldn't find any. To say that there weren't any, but that bookstore did not carry any books on the subject of grace at the time.
You wanted to learn about grace?
Yes, I did.
And you couldn't find a book?
I could not find a book at the time.
And yet you are the person that seems to have brought the grace revolution to the Christian church in at least North America. If you couldn't find a book, how did you learn this stuff?
Well, that was where my trust. The only thing I can tell you is that I really, really do trust the Holy Ghost, the great teacher. And I begin to ask questions, and I needed to know. And I began to read in context these things about grace. And I remember one of the major turning points, as I had already started teaching some about grace. And I read this verse, "For Christ hath delivered us from the law." I didn't even know that was in the Bible. Jeff Robertson has been doing a series on his videos on God's crazy law, such as, you know, one of the really amazing laws is that you can't sew two pieces of cloth together. Again, I encourage you to watch those videos. And of course, you know, the list goes on. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife.
Hang on. I used to pastor a Pentecostal church. I'm going to tell you something. You know what I'm going to say, don't you? That's pretty much all that went on, you know, unless I could keep their eyes focused on me.
Exactly. You know, I was looking, this is going to go into something that we'll cover a little bit later, but I'm going to do the levity part now, because what we'll be talking about really doesn't warrant any levity whatsoever. And I looked up the word, we're going to be going into 1 Corinthians chapter 15 about the resurrection of the dead. And it talks about those that sleep. And the term sleep, of course, means dead. And then I looked up that, of course, there's several words for the word dead in the New Testament. But a lot of people take that term sleep and really separate it from the word dead. But so I clicked on all of the Greek words for the word sleep showed up. And it was actually the Greek word where that they translate sleep, as opposed to some of the others where that they are the terms dead and death and stuff like that. This one is translated as the word sleep. And the law that says that a woman is bound to her husband as long as he liveth, but when he is dead, she is freed from her husband to marry another. And the word dead there is the same word as sleep. So if he falls asleep, listen, girls, as long as he's asleep, you can go do anything you want.
So if I was.
And we can prove that scripturally.
Yeah. So if I was to sleep with my pastor's wife, she would actually be dead, right? Or one of us would be.
Yes. Which gets into a really weird area, too. So we're going to back away. Yeah, I see that.
No, we're not.
No.
Oh, don't talk me down. Oh, really? Really? You pay my pay packet, so you're okay. I get it. So I was thinking, the law says that you are going to worship on the sixth day of the week.
Mm-hmm.
And we want that law up on all of our courthouses, but we go to church on Sunday.
Ooh. Oh, my gosh. No, it gets really kind of crazy. If people knew how traditionally driven Christianity is, and not even – it's not – a. We make a difference between the Bible and the scriptures, and this is not even a difference between the Bible and the scriptures. These traditions aren't even in the Bible. They have nothing to do with the Bible at all.
If you want to know how much these things don't have to do with the Bible, I thoroughly recommend that you go to Amazon and pay $10. I mean, if you want to stay in invincible ignorance, well, that's okay. You can do that. But go to Amazon or any bookstore and buy a book called Pagan Christianity by Frank Viola. Mm-hmm. Just read it. And I think that says more, Mike, than we could say.
Oh, no. You know, and a lot of things that we do touch on, there are people who have done much more extensive work in those areas, such as the areas of the issue of hell and what that actually means. I touch on it, but I've never done a real extensive teaching that others have done, and my hat's off to them on the subject of hell. Gary Amrault from tentmaker.com does a fantastic breakdown of that. There are others also that do extensive teachings about the terminology of hell itself and what it actually means. It's just not the tradition of that is taught in Christianity, simply is not in the Bible. It's just not there.
But don't try to tell a religionist that.
Oh, man, don't you ever try. Because you are going to find out what hell is when you start that stuff, that's for sure.
Hi, Darris Bartlett. This is Jan Heller. I'm calling from Madison, Wisconsin, and I'm just calling to say that I've been listening to the Gospel Revolution broadcast for about 2 years now. And all I can say is, wow, after that first time of hearing Mike explain the gospel in context, my head, of course, started spinning with questions after question, thinking, could this actually be true, what Christ accomplished at the cross? I picked up the phone and called. Jeff Robertson answered, and we talked for about an hour or so. And he was probably thinking, okay, lady, slow down. But I'm here to tell you, that night changed my life forever. Jeff has become a dear friend to me and has answered so many questions. I also want to say that I'm hoping for a full recovery for you and for your wife. She sounds like a dear lady. So to you, Mike, Jeff, I just want to say, just keep on keeping on. Hugs to you all. Bye-bye.
Gospel Revolution.
So, Mike, recently we came across a clip that told us of Joseph Prince's response to your teaching that the whole world was redeemed.
Yes, I watched that clip, Barris, and I was just absolutely blown away by it. And I suppose we'd have to play this for everyone to even explain why I was blown away. I've gotten comments from some others also who've listened to it. It's really quite amazing. I think that the title underneath the video in YouTube is touting how that Joseph Prince has completely disproven, quote, universal salvation in a minute and 30 seconds.
Yeah. He's saying, it says here, what I'm looking at, watch Joseph Prince dismantle universal salvation in 60 seconds.
Yes. Which, of course, we have to address the issue that we don't teach universal salvation.
But hey, even if we did, you've got to really, you've got to honor someone who can dismantle the whole theology of the first three centuries of Christian history in 60 seconds. I mean, there's a bloke. You can't dismiss this fella. Come on.
No, we got to listen to him. If you can do this in 60 seconds, we're going to start the clock right now.
Stay tuned for the latest message excerpt from josephprince.com.
For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ all shall be made alive. Now, I put these two verses together because I want to tell you something. Today, there is a teaching going on saying that using this one verse, and Adam all die, and Christ all be made alive. And they say that, you see, everybody will be safe. Whether they are Christians or they are believers or not, they'll all be safe. And they take this verse in verse 22. But friend, you must read everything in its context. They call this universal salvation, all right? You must read everything in context. If you take a text out of its context, what is left is corn. Okay? Now, the context is this. Who are these all? Each one in his own order. Christ, the first fruits, afterwards those who are Christ at his coming. All this refers to those who are Christ. If you put your trust in Christ, you are the all. Amen. They'll be made alive. Can I have a good amen?
This excerpt is brought to you by josephprince.com. To get the full message, visit josephprince.com.
Wow. Well, again, let me say that I heard this and was amazed, and I wanted to hear how in the world you undermine this. And the context of what he's saying, this does not teach universal salvation. This teaches the redemption of the world in this verse. And our listeners are familiar with the difference in those terms. There's many interesting things in such a very short little clip. And the declaration that this teaching comes out of one single verse out of the entire Bible, that there is no other teaching, and people who, whether they teach universal salvation or what we teach, or that all will be saved, or any of these things, to say that that only comes out of one verse is just crazy. So, yes, this is talk about out of context. Let me help you. There's more than two verses here in this chapter.
Well, hang on. You say talk about context. Are you saying really talk about opportunism?
Well, it certainly seems to be that. I would not disagree with that whatsoever. You know, this is talking about the resurrection of the dead. And there's Paul does speak about two different categories here. And he is speaking about people who've died since Christ died. But he's also bringing us to understand the theme of all of those who died when Adam died. And the thing that's being addressed here is not those who died after Christ died. It's those who died or slept, came to a state of sleep or death, which we made reference to this just a little bit earlier. These words death show up in many ways. One of the ways that the word death shows up or died is the word slept or died, as the Greek word shows. And the context here is not comparing those who died after Christ. Obviously, he's talking about those who died in Adam. So everybody who died in Adam is made alive in Christ. Now, first off, you cannot use context. You can't put two verses together, which are together, to cancel out one of the verses. That's not what context is about. It doesn't cancel out what the other verse says. And sometimes when you have this type of confusion that Joseph Prince has about this, you have to read a little bit more, because you're going to be, I think he said he'd be a con if he didn't read this in context. So.
But hang on, you said he was confused.
Yes, he is confused because he is not allowing this to say exactly what it says.
How could Joseph Prince, after having spent a whole year telephone conversations to you, be confused? Unless maybe you were confused.
Well, one of the things that I did not teach and was not teaching at the time was the redemption of the world. When I was on the phone with Joseph. Joseph started preaching exactly what I was preaching in 1997. So later on, as the understanding of the gospel progressed, And I came to the conclusion about the redemption of the entire world. That's where Joseph got off and decided that for whatever reasons, let me tell you, I don't know why he made the decision that he did not to continue on, but I can tell you what happened to me when I did. When I taught what I had taught Joseph Prince, Mike Williams Ministries launched into the stratosphere. We could not stuff people in any size of building. The parking lots were full, traffic cops outside. So I understand the magnetism of adding grace to law.
Say that again.
I understand the magnetism of adding grace to law.
Grace and law, that so different that they can't be in any way combined. I mean, like thou shalt not kill is a law.
It is a law, and it has become a social law now. It is not true that that law determines relationship with God, whether you keep or break that law. That's what grace is all about.
But
grace
George,
has canceled out the law. It cannot determine our relationship with God.
But hang on. The Ten Commandments clearly say you shouldn't kill. And when Moses came down from the mountain and the Israelites, the whole community concept was, this shall be unto us our righteousness. So surely, really, Mike, have you thought this out?
Yes, I have. And I've thought it out, and I've even allowed the prophet to speak about that very thing. There is none righteous, no, not one. So that is the culmination in the truth about the law, is that under it, not only is no one righteous by the law, if you break one law, you've broken all law. This is the teaching that Paul brought us, and also the books of Leviticus and Deuteronomy taught us very clearly that you had to keep all the law to experience a single blessing of the law, and not only you, but your children and your children's children to qualify for a blessing.
I'm sorry, Mike, that's just crazy talk. In what state in America does if you break one law, you break them all? I mean, that's crazy talk, mate.
It is crazy talk. And again, let me invite you to listen to Jeff Robertson's videos on God's crazy law, because it's crazy. We try to make some sense, and we say that these laws only exist because of the Ten Commandments. But there are cultures around the world who develop these social norms and laws who've never heard of the Ten Commandments ever before. The issue about the law is, it's always been my persuasion that God took the most common things about people and the things that are probably going to always happen in a society and made them against the law to prove a point. It was going to take something much more powerful than our own righteousness that would ever cause a relationship with God to be developed or to be gained.
Okay, so we're talking about a video by Joseph Prince, and I mean, it's not really a video. It's like a, I don't know what you call this thing, but it's a 1 minute 18 advertisement, and I don't get it.
What don't you get about it, Beerus?
These are two really important verses here. And look, I tell you what I don't get about it, mate. This to me is the epitome of cut and paste Christianity. I guess
I would have to agree with you.
And another thing he says is that text without context is a con. A text without context is a pretext.
Exactly. But as you know, Beerus, this is what the entire Christian community is made of, is in its teachings, is plays on words. I mean, my goodness, the teachings that evolve out of just a little play on words. Now, and let me give you one of them. My buddy, R.W. Shambach, talk about cut and paste. And here I'm talking about somebody that I really, really loved and admired on a personal level. He was a storyteller more than anything. He wasn't a teacher. He would never have said that he was a teacher. But he would take these little phrases out of the Bible and turn them into something that meant a lot out of nothing. And one of those was he would read where the Bible says that when Jesus and the disciples were in the Garden of Gethsemane, and Jesus asked them to pray, and then they fell asleep. And then one of the next lines after that, it says, and then Jesus went a little further. And what it's saying is that Jesus moved from where the disciples were a little further up the hill or into the woods or whatever. And he took that one statement, and Jesus went a little further. I'm telling you, brother and sister, if you want to get something from God, you may just have to go a little further. Maybe you think you've gone far enough, but I'm telling you, Jesus went a little further. And he did a whole preaching on Jesus went a little further, and it had nothing to do with anything whatsoever. But it was exciting. Embarrassed, it's just like you said. The misfortune that someone would use just a slight of words rather than accuracy of language. And that is that text without context is a con. That's just a play on words. That's not truth. That is not a true statement. That totally is not a true statement, because text without context is pretext.
The Calf Path. One day, through the primeval wood, a calf walked home, as good calves should, but made a trail all bent askew, a crooked trail, as all calves do. Since then, 200 years have fled, and I infer the calf is dead, but still he left behind his trail, and thereby hangs my moral tale. The trail was taken up next day by a lone dog that passed that way, and then a wise bellwether sheep pursued the trail o'er vale and steep, and drew the flock behind him too, as good bellwethers always do. And from that day o'er hill and glade, through these old woods a path was made, and many men wound in and out, and dodged and turned and bent about, and uttered words of righteous wrath, because 'twas such a crooked path, but still they followed, do not laugh, the first migrations of that calf, and through this winding woodway stalked, because he wobbled when he walked. This forest path became a lane that bent and turned again. This crooked lane became a road where many a poor horse with his load toiled on beneath the burning sun and travelled some 3 miles in one, and thus a century and a half they trod the footsteps of that calf. The years passed on in swiftness fleet. The road became a village street, and this, before men were aware, a city's crowded thoroughfare, and soon the central street was this of a renowned metropolis, and men 2 centuries and a half trod in the footsteps of that calf. Each day 100,000 a rout followed the zigzag calf about, and o'er his crooked journey went the traffic of a continent. 100,000 men were led by one calf near 3 centuries dead. They followed still his crooked way and lost 100 years a day, for thus such reverence is lent to well-established precedent. A moral lesson this might teach, were I ordained and called to preach, for men are prone to go it blind along the calf paths of the mind, and work away from sun to sun to do what other men have done. They follow in the beaten track, and out and in and forth and back, and still their devious course pursue to keep the path that others do. But how the wise old wood gods laugh who saw the first primeval calf. Ah, many things this tale might teach, but I'm not ordained to preach.
Gospel Revolution.
Yes, this is Robert Orr.
in Libby, Montana. And I just wanted to say that after Mike came, totally confused us with the facts, that I am so grateful, I am so honored to know the gospel. I just sit around sometimes and think of people that, my God, can't you see? Why me? Why did I get this understanding? Why have I been able to live now with a God that is not angry, that I don't make angry? Never once in my life have I ever done anything to even make him frown at me. I guess if that was the one thing that the gospel did for me, is that to understand that God is not angry, never has been, never will be, with Robert Orr. Thank you.
Now, Mike, this week we got a letter from Moses Garter.
Mm-hmm.
Just remind us all who Moses Garter is.
Moses got in contact with us, it's probably going on 3 years ago now from having been on the Gospel Revolution. He was very much in full-time ministry there in Kenya and under a ministry there in Kenya also.
And why did he leave that ministry?
He started listening to the Gospel Revolution and the PowerCast and started listening to the CDs, and the gospel became alive to him. They actually, which he did not know at the time, they were under a lot of abuse. They thought abuse was a part of Christianity, so they just accepted it. And of course, one of the things that Moses had most recently experienced by working in this ministry and for this ministry, and the boys were just babies at the time. He was married and had two very small children. Moses was a better speaker than the head of the ministry was. And people they got excited when they heard Moses, and they really didn't care whether or not they heard the other guy. So the guy picked out a very remote village that the Lord spoke to him and told him that Moses and his family was supposed to be at.
Oh, really?
Knowing that this village was completely void of food, no modern conveniences whatsoever, and that people were literally already starving to death in this village. And that's where he sent Moses to.
And what does Moses do now?
Moses shares the gospel. He is our anchor in Kenya. And his family has done some really amazing things with the gospel, which we are very, very grateful for. He does a tremendous amount of work there. And in fact, we just got this letter from him that is going to really knock your socks off. I'm telling you, they have had terrorist attacks, one in the mall there. There's been lots of others that haven't really made the news very big. But they had a complete massacre there in the mall in Nairobi. And Nakuru has been under threat of terrorism for quite some time. Moses' family fell victim to terrorists. And he will explain that. It's goodness gracious. Thank goodness the family has recovered. Those little boys, it just broke my heart. I saw a picture of them after this incident, and that innocence and that simplicity that I always saw in these little boys' faces, there was something had replaced that. And we're wanting those little boys to regain that sense of safety and security that they once had. And also Elizabeth trying to escape, knowing that her consequences as a woman would be quite harsh. Leapt a fence from the complex trying to escape and was injured and had to have surgery. Moses was roughed up really bad, and all of their things were stolen, as was everyone in the complex.
So Moses writes, Jumbo Mike and all these yards across the world, Jumbo, which is Swahili for
aloha.
It's kind of like shalom. Yeah, aloha.
Yes.
USA, Canada, Hong Kong, UK, Australia, Holland, from Kenya. On behalf of the School of the Scriptures, I want to thank you for all your support for me and my family, and also for the work of the gospel in Kenya. In case you're wondering, friends and family, your dollars go here. If you are in a Christian church and you put some money in the plate, do you know where your dollars go? I do. Because we had a special several months ago that showed that the dollars that go into the Sunday morning plate actually go to lobby African governments to kill homosexuals. Well, I don't know, execute, if that's a word you prefer. On behalf of the School of Scriptures, I want to thank you for all your support for me and my family, and also for the work of the gospel in Kenya. The School of the Scriptures has gained deeper roots in Kenya, starting with Nakuru Town, despite religious challenges. We don't meet regularly like before. Due to security reasons, where gatherings are now the potential targets of terrorism every day. The last meeting that we had, we recorded the highest turn-up ever. We were 96. That's got to be a misprint.
No, it's not a misprint.
People in total. The radio show has been a major contributor to the furthering of the gospel of grace and peace in Kenya and beyond borders. What's he talking about there?
The fact that the book, he goes on to explain that the book is there. It's in the hands of pastors. And also the radio show that we have, that they have very much supported themselves with their own dollars there in Kenya, have played of my teachings. Also, they have been translated into Swahili on the radio stations, also on this one radio station. So, yes, it's the, through this, this is our main core as to the support for the gospel revolution in Northern Africa. And it is also our results. This is where these people go. If they want more teaching, if they want to understand the gospel more and to associate with other people who understand the gospel, they go to the School of the Scriptures.
The radio show has gone a step further in that we have located a cheaper deal from a Catholic-owned radio station.
Listen to this now. This is good.
Mike, I can't tell you, mate. I'm just going, what the? I'm going to reread.
This is good.
The radio show has gone a step further in that we have located a cheaper deal from a Catholic-owned radio station based in Rift Valley and Central Provinces. Oh, gosh. And a Muslim radio station based on the coast and Waiye, Kenya-Somali border. Really?
Yes. This begins next month, and we already, Moses has already sealed the deal with these guys. So this is part of where your funds are going, folks. We are supporting this from here. They it just always surprises me. And the next thing I know, after we have tried to get funds there, the next thing I know, any extra funds, which extra funds, you got to realize what extra funds are in Kenya. It's not what extra funds are here over and above your 401k and your savings account and your house payment and your car payment and your investments in the stock market. This is extra money over what it takes to eat. And that's their extra money. And they put that into the gospel. And it's just quite amazing as to what's happened. But we'll turn around and find out they've bought airtime. They've invested. They've put their own money into it. So this is quite a dynamic shift for us in that we will be broadcasting the gospel from a Catholic radio station and a Muslim radio station. And as Moses tells us here in the letter, what's happening more in the Muslim community also, is, as you continue to read the letter.
Discussion with Mike Williams, the founder and president of the Mike Williams Ministries, and the Gospel Revolution has been ongoing, and we proposed to engage these stations by July this year. This will bring tremendous outreach of Mike Williams' teachings. 1 billion people in Africa will be reached. 1 billion people. 1 billion. 1 billion. Just happens to coincide with Mike's life dream. 1 billion people in Africa will be reached, and this is the first step towards achieving this goal. As Mike has been telling you, I can attest to the fact that a larger number of Muslims in Kenya listen to Mike's teachings, and their testimony is that they find no fault with the teachings. As a matter of fact, the last radio show we had was sponsored by a Muslim, and it brought very wonderful results. Apart from Mike's teachings, we go a step further to print and distribute flyers with Mike's teachings to all the towns around Nakuru. They must be stamped by the county government as a matter of legality, and many in the School of the Scriptures have been a result of these flyers. Many pastors and ardent listeners of Mike's teachings, 8 pastors, are proud owners of the Book One. Hey, mate, your Book One's going to pastors.
Yes, it is.
Thanks to Jeff for sending the books to us. They are now listening to weekly podcasts, which I usually download for them. I've received several invitations from some of the pastors not to talk to their congregation, but to the board members of their churches. That is, the elders and deacons of the staff. They don't want the members to be engaged to the teachings for now. The only setback here in Kenya in spreading the gospel is the insecurity issues, but with radio, we can go far. In fact, a month ago, I was attacked with my family in the house at night. We were injured, and most of our household property stolen. But as of now, we are okay health-wise. Thanks to a number of gospel revolutionaries who helped us out. We love so much and welcome you all to Kenya. Keep up the good work. Moses Gata.
Yes. Kenya. And thank you, Moses, so much for that very clear and exciting update. We've seemed to have turned a corner there in Kenya and in Nakuru and in Northern Africa. We really appreciate it that these guys are putting forth this effort, and we just really need to press this issue of the gospel in Africa. And with everyone's help, we will be able to do this because we have the resources there, and we want to take advantage of it. And they want us to take advantage of the resources that we have there, human resources that we have in getting out the gospel. So thanks, Moses. We love you a lot, and you'll be hearing from us more and more. And keep up the good work, my friend.
Says, through the death of Jesus, we are made righteous. If and as long as you do what we tell you, follow the leader and don't ask questions. All you need is Jesus. Oh, and be like us. In religion, they will tell you Jesus died for the sins of the world, but if you ask the average churchgoer whether somebody else is going to heaven or not, they will say, maybe. Did you know that every single major doctrine of the modern church, Jesus never spoke about even once? That's right. Look up your church's statement of belief, and without trying to make Jesus say what he doesn't, try and find in plain black and white where Jesus actually taught that. You know, you're going to find something very interesting. Every single one of those ifs, ands, buts and maybes depends not on what Jesus said, but on what your particular brand of religion teaches. And in Christianity alone, there are 40,000 brands. What flavor would you like? In the gospel, there are no ifs, no buts, no ands, no maybes. When Jesus prayed that he and we would be one in exactly the same way in which he and his Father were one, just ask yourself this. Do you think Jesus gets his prayers answered? Remember, you just aren't that powerful that your opinion of God could ever trump God's opinion of you. And he has made his opinion clear. He says that you are the righteousness of God in Christ. He says you are his righteousness. God says you are his righteousness. How could that possibly be unless you and he are one? Tell you what. Let's just take our ifs, ands, and maybes and our buts out of the way and just take Jesus at his word. What do you say?
And so it is that we must leave you, folks. We love you one and all, and we especially thank all of you who, with your financial support, keep this message of grace and peace going out every week. If you'd like to join them in increasing our coverage of this gospel, call our office at area code 321-220-4373 and speak to Jeffrey. If you would like to leave a message for the show, simply telephone me on area code 234-564-0971. Our web address is www.gospelrevolution.com, and we are always up for a Facebook chat at Friends of Mike Williams and the Gospel Revolution. Thanks to Marcel Roos in the Netherlands, All the Gospel All the Time is being broadcast 24/7 at myradiostream.com/Gospel Revolution. And so it's good night from myself, Beres Bartlett, right here from Nashville, Tennessee.
And it is good night from here in Houston, Texas, from Mike Williams. Thank you, guys. We love you. We wish you all the best this week. Have a wonderful week. And I will be flying to Canada when this goes to air on Thursday. So thank you guys so much. I look forward to seeing the folks in Canada and also in Southern Illinois. My goodness, the gospel revolution is rolling on.
Remember to join us again next week, same time, same channel, where we're going to do the same thing all over again.
It'll be better.
Dreamer trying to build a highway to the sky. All my hopes would come tumbling down, and I never knew just why. Until today, when you pulled away the clouds that hung like curtains on my eyes. But I've been blind all these wasted years, and I thought I was so. But then you took me by surprise. Like waking up from the longest dream I've really seen. Until your love broke through, I've been lost in a fantasy. just rolled away the storm.